Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to have you listening today. And you hear this from me every day. I look forward to bringing you conversations that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heighten your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, we're talking today about the winding path of transformation. You know this if you've walked with the Lord for a while, that the healing work of God is slow. It's purposeful. You cannot sprint through grief any more than you can sprint your way through the maturing process. God is just not in a hurry. He's meticulous with our stories and with the condition of our soul. Yet so few really trust Him to untangle their hurts and their fears in a way that sets them free, to really be everything He envisioned them to be. Well, that's why we're talking today to Dr. Jeffrey Tackland about his book, The Winding Path of Transformation, Finding Yourself Between Glory and Humility. We've got four copies of Dr. Jeff's book to give away. Looking forward to this conversation. Quick announcement, though. Faith Radio is partnering again with our friends, University of Northwestern St. Paul, to offer you a free online course. It's called Navigating Grief with Humor, taught by Professor Melissa Mork. The course is designed for both grievers and those who desire to help those in grief. In this free course, with optional credit, you can learn how humor can help a grieving heart cope, build resilience, and find purpose during those moments of sorrow. You can learn more. Remember, it's a free online course. Register online today at myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Jeffrey Tackland's lead pastor of Church by the Sea. Can you think of a better name for a church? Church by the Sea. I just want to go visit. I love the name so much. In Laguna Beach, California, where he lives with his wife and three children. He's a spiritual director, has a master's degree in philosophy, a doctorate in semiotics and future studies. And we're honored to have him with us today. Dr. Tackland, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. It's good to be here.
What is semiotics? I must know.
It's an area of philosophy that deals largely with symbols and the interpretation of symbols. And the head of that program was a man named Len Sweet. And he teaches a way of reading Scripture that really pertains to following the thread that the symbols throughout Scripture create and the story that leads us on, which is a wonderful way of reading the Bible.
Fantastic. I've interviewed Len a good handful of times, so you were in good hands. That's really wonderful. Wow. Well, Dr. Jeff, we love to start every conversation every day talking Scripture, and I know you're someone who loves to spend time with God. So what about it? Do you have a verse you've been hanging around these days or a life verse you can share with us?
I just finished teaching with some men in our church through 1 Peter, and I think the way that he starts that letter is one of my very favorites. And I was thinking, you know, he talks about in chapter 1, there's a short passage there where he says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." I just love that. Yeah.
You know what? It puts a lump in my throat. That is so powerful. I mean, tell me about it. I mean, how it resonates with you.
Well, I think it just speaks to the work that I see God doing in my own heart. And again and again, returning to that, the work that He's doing, whether I'm in that place of closeness and nearness, or if I find myself traveling through some of those desert places, I see the consistency of that work in refining my heart in something that has eternal value.
Very good. Well, I love how you opened the book, Jeff, with a story about a time you were on a retreat. I actually chuckled to myself because the assignment was to find something in nature that reflected the season you were in. And you're exhausted from just pouring yourself out in ministry. So you already decided ahead of time what object you were going to find. It wasn't going to find you. You were going to find it, and you were going to make your application. Just check it off my list. I love that, because who hasn't been in that place before? But God sort of schooled you. So tell us that story, if you would.
Well, I think it, it was a delightful story. It was a surprise, and that I think spoke kind of to that condition of exhaustion, how I think oftentimes when I'm at that low point, I'm not even I find myself not even really listening, unfortunately, and how God, I think, so faithfully breaks in there and spoke, gave me, you know, talking about semiotics, gave me an image that was not the image I was looking for, and yet spoke to a really deep longing in my heart as well. You know, I talk in that story about the image at first being one that caused some resistance because all I wanted to do was find myself belonging in one place or the other. But instead, God presented this image to me that spoke to a place of vulnerability, but also of a need for courage that required me to get bigger and to sense God's belief in who he saw me to be, even when I didn't. It just meant the world to me.
Wow. Do you mind sharing what you stumbled upon, what he showed you, and just explain that a little bit?
Sure. Well, you know, I was walking in this canyon and was struck, I think, at first just by the image of it, because it's this wonderful camp called Forest Home that I don't know if you've heard of this camp. It's here in Southern California, but it's kind of where Billy Graham made his decision to kind of dedicate his life to the ministry. But it's this wonderful camp that's in this canyon that's just perfect east-west, and because of that, it's got these two sides, the north and south side, that are just very different. One is almost desert, and the other is this evergreen forest, and in the middle between these two is this little winding creek. And we went out into that creek bed kind of as a group, but out there, I was out there by myself and was staring up at these two sides and feeling kind of the tension in my own life that we have this wonderful little diverse church here in Laguna that that oftentimes finds itself in the midst of that tension. And as a pastor, you find yourself kind of winding that path in between. And I thought, as I was looking over at one side with all these great oaks, and I just thought, oh, that's who I want to be. I want to be the righteous oak. And God instead said, no, this is you. And it was this little white alder tree in the middle of that river. And I thought, oh, at first, that's not who I want to be. I want to be the mighty tree, not this little thin tree here by itself. But yet at the same time, it spoke to me because I knew about that tree and how it could remain and endure in this place where nothing else could, and that it survived by drinking deeply from this river. And it was as if God was saying, this is who you are, this is where you belong, and this is what it's going to take for you to thrive.
Amen. You know, you're so right. There are times when he shows us something that sort of comes out of nowhere, and that's one of the ways that you know it's him. In fact, I'm kind of jumping ahead here, but I got to talk about that, where you, when someone once asked, you know, how do you distinguish God's voice from your own? You write this, you said, God's word seems to enter my mind from my peripheral vision. They present themselves unlooked for, and they take me by surprise. God's voice often asks more than I desire to give. Say more about distinguishing God's voice from your own, but that whole idea I just said to a friend, when I know it's him, it's because it takes me by surprise. I love that. Say more.
Yeah, well, it's got a sort of revelatory texture to it where you can follow your own train of logic and build these little strategies that kind of, you know, one after the next, where you arrive at a place because you've navigated your way through. But when God speaks, it so often is multiple steps ahead, you know, and it's this sense of God seeing way further than we see. And I think in there I use this example of Gideon at one point where, you know, he's there threshing his wheat at the bottom of this well, and this angel visits and refers to him as a mighty warrior. And I think it's that sort of idea, God casting vision, that in this present moment we hardly live up to, and yet, you know, God sees ahead. It's that sort of idea where it surprises us because it's not just that we're a step or two away, it's that this is a whole chapter in advance that we're getting. And that's not always, I mean, I think that's a way that God speaks, but often where I can really see and distinguish between my thoughts and his.
You write about how you once, your whole life, I should say, that you long for this life of nobility, And yet you felt cautious about that longing. So you had this inner desire, which is obviously God-given, but we don't always know that because we self-edit, we sin manage. You know, we do so many things to shut ourselves down because we don't trust ourselves. And say more about just that exploration and what you learned about yourself and about God.
Well, I think in many ways we don't trust ourselves rightly because, you know, I mean, I talk a lot about that. When I get any sort of accolade or praise, the temptation to want to, like, savor that for what it says about my value, that I'm finding that in something other than God's love. I'm finding that in what I do. I'm finding that in what others think. And knowing that about myself, I think sometimes it's easier to just disengage entirely as a way of almost protecting myself from myself. And yet what that does is greatly stunts my growth. So this longing in my heart for glory is in fact God-given, and yet my brokenness wants to sort of take that and subvert it to my own agenda. And you see how God so delicately is helping me diminish and die to self and yet pull me towards those deeper longings of nobility. And I think maybe sometimes that's why, you know, God will tell us to give, but to give in secret, or to do it kind of in a way behind the scenes as a way of almost protecting us from our pride.
Yeah.
But rather than seeing us just diminish ourselves, he's going, oh, no, I've got so much more for you too.
Indeed. You know, we're going to pause here, but I want to explore that paradox that much more because truly, as you say, we are made for his glory. And yet because we don't believe that, we puff ourselves up, which destroys our soul. But we also berate ourselves, which also destroys our soul. And you said for the longest time, you felt like glory and humility were these kind of opposing forces and this disconnect within you. And yet you've now seen that they really do go hand in hand. And this is kind of those mind-boggling concepts that we need to explore because I think it might set somebody free today. Talking to Dr. Jeffrey Tackland about the winding path of transformation, the title of his book, Finding Yourself Between Glory and Humility. Do you just love the idea? You can text or email to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Don't forget your questions, comments if you've got them. Email middays at myfaithradio.com. More with Dr. Jeffrey Tackland when we return.
So I'm thankful for the scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know your heart, and I know they'll always tell of who you are. So forever I am thankful for the scars.
I had to let that song play out, you know. There are no mistakes. You know, we walk through, I mean, we make our mistakes. We have sins. We have missteps. What I'm saying is God can redeem it all. I mean, he doesn't overlook it. Nothing slips through his fingers. Somehow, some way, he redeems every nuance of our story. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Suzy Larson talking to Dr. Jeffrey Tackland about his book, The Winding Path of Transformation, Finding Yourself Between Glory and Humility. What a beautiful concept. We've got four copies to get into your hands. Would love for you to enter the drawing. You can text 877-933-2484 or email middays at myfaithradio.com. So as we were talking before the break, you wrote how you once thought these two ideas were in opposition to each other and played tug of war in your heart, the idea of glory and of humility. And you almost felt the need to self-sabotage to keep yourself humble, and yet this longing to live this noble life, but wondered, is that just me? So talk about a little bit more about what you learned about this juxtaposition of glory and humility.
Well, I think it points to the heart work that God is doing. That these two, instead of being opposites and trying to sort of manage the two, what God wants to do is really set us free towards both of those trajectories, that he wants me to be completely humble and yet live a life that is completely glorious. I think it's that secret when he says that people would see your good deeds and praise their Father in heaven, that the way to that is to find this sort of selflessness that allows God's glory to shine through you without you possessing it or stealing any of that glory for yourself. And that when we do that, that's us really actually being our true selves. That's us existing in this place of freedom. And that really is what God is after, is a heart that is free, a heart that free to submit, free to surrender, and that is kind of the path that all of us are on. I think Paul would call that maturity in Christ. Having the heart of Christ, having the mind of Christ, is this process of completely dying to self and then completely stepping in to the glorious life that God has for us. And I think our life is a journey towards that end. I don't know if there's an arrival in this lifetime, and yet certainly a progression moving further and further in.
You know, both take such courage. You know, Dr. Jeff, it seems like some mistake passivity for humility, and they're totally different sources. Passivity really comes out of absolute insecurity, and where humility, to me, I see it as harnessed strength, where you know who you are and you know whose you are, so you don't need everybody else to know who you are, and you can fully, just like Jesus, he didn't, you know what I mean? He was so content to be misunderstood because he had a greater vision for his life. But I, you know, Scripture talks about he draws near to the humble, and when you get to a place where you go, I don't want anything in my life to cause him to distance himself from me through my pride, he comes near to the humble. You see it as a sacred place that he visits, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and in fact, I mean, that is available to us kind of at whatever season we find ourselves, that that sometimes it's when things are at their most difficult that we find that nearness of God. And so it transforms that desert into a place of deep intimacy where we can have a banquet in the presence of our enemies, that kind of idea.
Well, you say that a distortion of either one of these, a distortion of the glory that God has for us and or the humility that invites us to, is for us to live in the small story, to prefer comfort over risk and insecurity over glory. I want to just camp on this a little bit because, again, I think if we misinterpret these two things, we will miss the best of what God has for us. So as much as you're able, unpack what you mean, what God means by this invitation to humility, and what he actually means. I don't think very many people talk about the glory that he invites us to. We're so afraid. It's his glory, but we shine brightly in it when we understand it. So unpack those both, if you would.
Yeah, no, that's really good. This probably, for me, started reading The Way to Glory by C.S. Lewis, where he's saying these longings and desires in us are not too, they're not too large, they're too small. And the sort of permission that that gave, because I think managing, keeping those expectations low felt like humility to me, and realizing, oh no, what that's fostering in me is insecurity, which ends up being just another form of pride. It's another form of self-obsession, where instead of this sort of narcissistic praise in myself, it's this really petty alternative, but really in the end is just the same sort of root. And in the freedom, you know, where Paul says in Corinthians, no eye has seen, nor ears heard, nor mind can understand what God has in store for those that love him, that's the vision. Abundant life is the vision, that is a glorious life, and that those longings are there based on how God sees me as his beloved. And so having the courage to walk into that, but once again, realizing how difficult that is for me to find that sort of restful place there where it's God's honor and value that I'm after and not man's. And to find that constantly sneaking in there, that worry or that reaction to criticism and all of that. And so it is this discipline of remaining in that place of intimacy with God that's going to give me the courage to be able to stand alone or to perform just solely for him.
Amen. You know, when you look at humility, again, I think we stop short of dying to ourselves, and we consider, it's not even, you know, we wonder if the path to death to self is self-contempt or berating self, but again, that's not it. It's not beating yourself up. It's not berating. It's not even holding yourself in contempt. That's not, Jesus never held himself in contempt, but he still died. And so the two different paths, and I would love for you just to unpack that for someone's listening going, what does it mean to death to self? Because I know when I berate myself, I hate myself more, and it's not the same thing. So make maybe the distinction between the two.
Well, I think that in, you know, I kind of unpack this idea of these different sort of seasons that we move through in our life and how God uses those seasons oftentimes for one or the other, although I think these can overlap. But I think there are seasons where I feel that I'm in much more of like a winter time, where in that season I can almost feel a little bit more of the distance between myself and God and find myself in this place of deeper longing, and that uniquely gives me the opportunity to grow. That there's a phrase that I heard, I'm not even sure where this is from, but attributed to Teresa of Avila, where she's saying we have to remain in our weeds with God. And that place of just complete truthfulness, being seen just as I am, and then receiving God's love there, as it turns out, I want nothing more than that. But that's kind of a terrifying place, where I so often want to make myself presentable before I'm in that place of intimacy with God. But yet, being there in transparency, everything in me fights that. It takes discipline, and often it comes in this place of quiet or solitude or rest, being able to just sit with God as I am and let God love me as I am is incredibly humbling. And yet I think that's this idea of the light coming into the darkness, and it's transformative, but there's a part of me that wants to run back to the shadows, that wants to go back to that place of hiding. And so I think even just sitting there in that place with God takes tremendous courage, but then to be seen for who I am, a lot of that stuff, a lot of the games I play, all that stuff, all of a sudden is seen as completely irrelevant. It's just such a waste of energy.
Amen. There's something so sacred again. I just want to make sure our listeners get that difference between true humility and the counterfeit of berating yourself, because there's life in death when it's the kind of death that we're talking about. I mean, I remember when I was a new author, I think my very first book was a bunch of years ago. I self-published my first book. I've written a good handful since then. But I was at a conference, and I was in a line at a speaker's conference. And one of the speakers, the keynote, was kind of a big deal. And she said, so you write articles for Focus on the Family, and you self-publish your first book. And I said, yeah, you know, I'm a little tiny deal at the time. Anyway, she said, and she says, well, I save all of my articles for all of my books, which I've been published by a mainstream publisher. And I said, oh, and I felt like I was about 2 inches tall, and I felt the Holy Spirit come in and say, I got you. I got you. Just, you know, just bless her. Just honor her. I got you. And so I affirmed her and complimented her, and I didn't even have a minute where I felt berated, I think, the way it was intended. You know what I'm saying? There was a supernatural comfort that came in where he just said, humble yourself. I've got you. And it was a supernatural proposition. I don't know. There's something so beautiful about when you entrust. And don't you think humility is that, where you entrust your whole soul and story to him?
Yes.
Anyway.
That's perfect. Yeah, I love that. And that idea, I mean, there's a chapter in there of just being known, where God is saying, I've got you. And like with that, I know you. I know just who you are. Yeah.
So great. Love it. Talking to Dr. Jeffrey Tacklin today. His book is titled The Winding Path of Transformation, Finding Yourself Between Glory and Humility. Again, we've got 4 copies. Love for you to text or email to get in on the drawing. 877-933-2484. If you've got questions about glory, humility, kind of living in that space, I would sure love them. Or any question or comment, you can email as well to get in on the drawing. middays@myfaithradio.com. We will be back in a minute.
Maybe it's okay if I'm not okay.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. Honored to have you listening today, talking to Dr. Jeffrey Tacklin about his book, The Winding Path of Transformation, Finding Yourself Between Glory and Humility. He writes this: the winding path ensures that our eyes become trained to see and recognize the provision and goodness that otherwise go overlooked in our hurry to get from one place to the next. Because these glimpses of joy along the path sustain us, they renew us, and they remind us that there is more to come. It's a winding path. It's not always the way you think it'll be. We've got 4 copies, 877-933-2484. You can text to get in the drawing. Don't forget the address. address or email middays@myfaithradio.com. The winding path, I want you to talk a bit more about that, Dr. Jeff, because as you said, life rarely turns out the way we think. We don't like the twists and turns, and yet you say that's where our eyes become trained to see God's goodness, and we are trained to start to see things we would otherwise miss in our hurry to get to the next place.
Yeah. Well, I think that part of that is, you know, the work that God is doing is always deeper than we would probably choose, that we would rather treat symptoms, and God wants to go deep down into our heart and get to the root of these things. But that it generally takes more time than we would like as well. And so it's a bit of a slower process. I think when I'm setting goals for myself, usually it's a straight line and it's shortcuts to get there. And how I think God is so often slowing me down in order to do that deep work, but that's where our roots go deep. That's what gives us sustainability. It allows us to remain so that endurance is part of the work that God is doing too. And I think in that, it's that winding path that requires us to not rush ahead of where God is, but to stay close.
This dear listener says, what a wonderful interview. Thank you so much. Here's a question for Dr. Tackland. What's the best way to position yourself, be able to see yourself as his beloved, if you just can't seem to get there? I believe it is the key to everything else. I daily am telling him thank you for loving me over and over, but it still feels like empty words. Well, first of all, thank you, dear Carissa, for that honest admission. What do you say, Dr. Jeff?
Yeah, well, my goodness, this is like the challenge. And I think that this sometimes takes a lifetime. I think a lot of the wounds and things that we've experienced in this life speak right against that. And I think we're living in a world that is constantly sending us a contrary message to that. And so I think this is the importance for us to take time to just be quiet and to listen to God's voice. And I think it's where Scripture can be incredibly powerful to sit in those truths and to meditate on those truths. That is like a tree planted by water. when we sit in that, something as simple as, you know, the 23rd Psalm that's talking about, this is who you are. You know, I just have started teaching through the book of Ephesians, and Paul starts off with this, just, blessed is God who chose you before the beginning of time to be his adopted child and to, you know, sit in that almost as a prayer that's like as close as our breath. I think it's an exercise that it's in moments like that we will feel God draw close. But I'm also sensitive to the fact that that's not always what is going to occur. But I think that certainly there's moments of deep intimacy and joy that come in remaining in that kind of fragile, delicate place.
Well, thank you for that. In the book, you tell a story about the time when the lead pastor role opened up at your church, and you were kind of the obvious replacement, but you had to go through this delegation process. Tell us what that was like for you.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that is where I looked at myself and I saw inadequacy, and I wasn't wrong. And yet my assumption was that, like, I would never be ready. And to see God really speak to this place, I thought, well, you know, here's all the skills or the knowledge I have yet to attain. And God really said, no, this is much more a matter of your heart and the capacity of your heart to love, which I think in many ways that's what this whole transformation is about, that this isn't about Jeff becoming Jeff for my own sake. This is about me becoming God, who God sees me to be, for the sake of others. Always, it's going to respond in love, and that a heart set free is a heart that's capable of loving. And that, as I looked at myself, I thought, gosh, I have a long way to go. And I feel like God said, you have a long way to go, and this is where you're going. That, to me, again, that's it's humbling, but it's exciting. And to realize that's what God wants to set free, that capacity to see others, to love others as I love myself. That's what God's after.
And you say our calling really kind of activates both our longing and our fears. I think people often think, because we rarely settle the validation thing, that if I get to that next place, that will settle the validation. But any new level of calling amplifies new levels of inadequacy and fear, but also, as you say, awakens a longing. So speak to that idea.
Well, I think that that is part of accepting the winding path and the journey, is this sense of us never arriving in this lifetime, that there's always further to go. I like how, I forget, C.S. Lewis says in one somewhere, and I'm kind of drawing a blank, but that this world provides some comfortable rests or some comfortable ends along the journey, but we're never to mistake this world as our final destination or our home. And that, I think, Scripture is saying that again and again, that completion is found in eternity. But during this life, that when we get answers, they're generally going to just awaken more questions. And to live this journey, to walk this path, really one has to embrace a sense of curiosity and anticipation and comfortability with mystery, that there's always going to be more, and that that's okay. In fact, hope is caught up in that sort of search for what's next. And I just read this week, and I'm not sure where this is from, but somebody's saying that hope is just faith standing on its tiptoes. And I think that's kind of what the journey is like, is us on our tiptoes going, what's next? And and realizing that God delights in some of that, surprising us along the way. And that it's good for us to be to guessing what's coming next.
You know, again, because we want there to be such a straight line, if we keep wanting that, I feel like we'll be perpetually disappointed. But if we can open our hands a little bit and embrace the reality that, as you said, all of our questions aren't going to get answered on this side, not everybody will understand or validate us. And as you were walking through this delegation process for this stepping into the pastoral role, you seem like the obvious next guy as the associate pastor. There were a couple who had some hesitancies around you, and they were just asking questions. But as it would for anybody, it awakened a little bit of insecurity. But then one of them, the one who had the most hesitancy, when he sought God, tell us what he'd said and what it meant to you.
Well, I love him. He's still on my board and is somebody that I trust so much. And I think that he's somebody that anytime we come into a decision-making process, is careful to discern, not just reason his way through, but to listen. And so he will often slow down the process to make sure that we're paying attention. Mm-hmm. He hears God's voice in ways with a little bit more sensitivity than maybe I have. And so often when he speaks, I'm like hungry to hear what he said. But he said this, well, he said, deep roots are not reached by the frost. And it's a reference to a poem that is in The Lord of the Rings that that speaks to this king, Aragorn, who's a long way from his throne and walking this path of insecurity as well. And when he said that, you know, it like awakened in something. I think that's that part of me that has always loved these great stories and sought to do something brave and yet wanting to do something humble as well. So it was so wrapped up in that character for me. But I think the tenderness of God speaking that to him and feeling that awaken things in my own heart, it reminded me of when I was a kid and yet spoke to who God was growing me into. And it was just a delightful moment.
Well, what stood out to me in that story, Dr. Jeff, is how often we feel at the mercy of man's opinion. But when we put ourselves in God's hands, which you are doing in the middle of the uncertainty of it all, somehow God's affirmation found its way to you. And he does that for us when we're allowed to be in situations where it seems we're at the mercy of others' opinions. We're not. And we can put ourselves at their mercy, and it's never good for our soul. And I feel like those opportunities are to take that power away. I'm going to love people, but I'm not going to hope in people. I'm hoping in God. And my future's in his hands, not theirs. And when you do that, somehow his affirmation finds its way to you and confirms all the way who you were to begin with, you know?
Yes. No, absolutely. And I think in ways that bring so much joy, you know, and I think that's a huge part of this journey as well, is that I think there have been times where I've really had to step through my insecurity and continue to do so, and that other times where God comes in and speaks such affirmation to me that it wakens my heart. I delight in joy, not in any sort of possessive sense, but that sense of a father's affirmation or delight in their child, and I think, oh, there is nothing sweeter than that. And I don't think we just walk in that all the time, but I think God will almost script these moments where we're able to really hear it in a way that touches us deeply. And it's amazing how much vision comes out of that as well.
Hmm. Let's say I talk a bit more, if we can, about glory in the varying seasons of life. Because as you addressed in the book, a whole chapter on seasons, they come and go. And there are times when it does seem like the heavens are silent. It does seem like the weaknesses in our lives are more pronounced than our strengths. And yet, you know, even Paul said, I glory in my weakness. And what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that awaits us later. How are we to interpret and look for glory in these varying seasons of life? I'd imagine it looks different when depending on the kind of season that you're in.
Okay, so to understand, what does glory look like in what when we step into it?
Look like in these varying seasons? Like in a winter season where you feel like all is barren, what might it look like there versus a season of flourishing or a season of harvest? I would imagine that would be an obvious application where you feel like you're stepping into the God of multiplication. Do you know what I'm saying? But I would imagine it just looks different in the varying seasons of life.
Sure, it does. Yeah. Well, and I think that some of that, you know, Paul is going to say that his desire is that we would see with the eyes of our heart. And I think sometimes the glory in those sort of winter seasons or in those seasons where we feel kind of some desolation or some distance requires us to be able to look carefully to the things that catch God's eye. I love that story of like the widow's mite and, you know, there they are in the temple and the disciples are going, oh, wow, look at this man pouring all this money in. Did you see that? And Jesus goes, no, did you see this? This woman who just quietly slides into the back and unnoticed gives everything that she has. And I think that is so important to know that God notices all those things when we in that place where we feel some desperation or we feel overlooked, are faithful, there's something about that has got such strength. There's a Screwtape Letters where Lewis writes about how the enemy is never more threatened than when all signs of God have disappeared and yet we obey. Mm. And to go the courage and bravery of those moments don't get missed in heaven, although they may get missed by everyone around us, and if we're not careful, by ourselves as well.
Amen. All right, we're pausing here for our last break. When we come back, we're going to talk about your chapter about God enlarging our hearts. You know, he's always taking us, it seems, from strength to strength, glory to glory, shining ever brighter to the full light of day. You know, there's an ebb and flow to that growth process, but he is expanding his influence in us and through us. In fact, he intends to, if we'll let him. Talking to Dr. Jeffrey Tackland about his book, The Winding Path of Transformation, Finding Yourself Between Glory and Humility. As I mentioned, we've got 4 copies. I would love, love, love to get one copy into your hands. You can text or email to get in the drawing, 877-933-2484, or email middays@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute.
I wanna be different, I wanna be changed, till all of me is gone, and all that remains is a fire so bright, the whole world can see that there's something different, so come and be different in me.
Good songs. I just had to let that one play out as well. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to Dr. Jeffrey Tackland, who wrote the book, The Winding Path of Transformation, Finding Yourself Between Glory and Humility. During one of your church leadership team meetings, Dr. Jeff, it was actually a prayer time with your staff members. One of your leaders felt that he had a word for you, and he said, Jeff, God told me not to let you stay small. wanted to know just how that landed on you, how it impacted you. Say a word if you would.
Well, you know, when we talk about the slow work of God, it was interesting because I think that ended up being one that for the longest time I didn't quite understand. And because I just naturally sort of interpreted that through the lens of, well, here I am at a church that's affectionately known as the Little Church by the Sea, and to not stay small, I assumed meant, well, there's somewhere else I have to go. And but I just kind of held that, and honestly, it kind of disappeared until I was talking with another pastor from our church, and I think this was about this idea of the calling and vocation and stepping in, and I said, I'm not ready. And he said, why? And I said, well, because my heart is too small. And God went, that's what I'm talking about. And how God sees these things, I think that the too small was, I felt not judgment or shame, but instead vision of God saying, this is where we need to grow. And I love how God will at times give us a word like that that will then kind of blossom in its proper season, that it sits and gets roots, and then all of a sudden we go, oh, there it is. And with that, not only do we get this moment of revelation, but we see what God has been doing all along.
In the end of that chapter titled Enlarge My Heart, you ask some questions, and I'd love to take these one by one. We've got probably about 7 minutes left together, 7-8 minutes. So just want to take our time with these because I'm thinking of someone listening today who needs to hear each of these questions and maybe process them on their own, and love for you just to explain them a little bit more. Here's the first question. Where do you prefer to stay small and safe? Are there invitations from God that you resist or hide from? Unpack that one a little bit more.
Well, I think that for me, one of the threads that goes through this book is the idea of resistance. And, you know, I read a book by Stephen Pressfield called The War of Art. And I don't know if you've heard of this book, but it's all about resistance and spotting it, noticing it, and realizing this is where we kind of need to go to war. That there is this thing in myself, anytime I'm about to grow, anytime where God is asking me to get bigger, there's going to be this voice that comes in that's going to counter that and tell me instead, you know, who do you think you are? And that resistance is giving into it can feel so comforting in a really twisted way, in a really dysfunctional way. And yet so often that resistance sort of gets the final word. And that God is combating that resistance, asking us to be more brave, asking us for more courage. And so to identify kind of the texture of that, that one of my professors, J.P. Moreland, he would say, when God is speaking to you, really pay attention to the texture of it. And because there is a sort of necessary sensitivity to discerning God's voice. And that texture of resistance, I think, is so often the texture of the enemy and those lies that are spoken. And yet, on the other side of that, the invitation, that voice of God is that voice that's saying, Jeff, you're more than this, you're bigger than this, you're faster than this, all of those
love
things.
That.
I love
You've
that verse.
Go ahead. I was going to say, some pretty amazing teachers. We just had JP on a few weeks ago, but you've had some amazing instructors, and you reflect their hearts so well. I mean, I just can see why you guys would be in the same circle, you know?
Oh, well, thank you. Okay, that's not true. I so love, you know, JP and Lynn are just two of the most significant voices into my life. I feel deep gratefulness and gratitude for them.
So great. Okay, here's another question. Is there a clutching hand behind your back? What does it contain? What are you afraid will happen if you let it go? Why don't you, as you unpack this one, think of someone who's listening going, yes, there's something I'm clutching in my hand behind my back. What do you say?
Well, you know, I think that image for me, I've realized this is something, that image I think I really was given from Henry Nouwen, where he would talk about what is that thing that you're grasping onto and how really that is the thing that God cares about, how we are so quick to say, God, you can have all of this, and we're gesturing to our entire life, but at the same time, there's this hand behind our back holding on to something where we go, oh, this is mine. And how really in our lives, all that we're offering God, I think in many ways he's saying, oh, you can keep all of that. What I care about is that thing that is behind your back, because it's reflective of maybe a treasure of our heart that is distorted or something that we have yet to release and give up. And we hold on to it to our detriment. And how freedom really is a matter of releasing that thing that we're hiding. And so asking ourselves that question of, like, what is that thing that you wouldn't offer to God can become one of the most wonderful invitations for us, because as we release our fingers, as we kind of pry our own fingers loose and allow that to be given freely from our heart, I think what we find there is so much growth, so much freedom, and really, honestly, so much delight. I think when we see those things in light of truth, we realize how small they are.
Beautiful. Wow, just beautiful. How about this one? How is God insisting on your glory? Where does he want you to enlarge?
Yeah. Well, and you can be sure that the texture of that is going to feel vulnerable. I think that idea of stepping in with our hearts. But how important it is that we are offering more and more of ourselves. I think this is kind of the parable of the talents, where sometimes we think all these things that we've been given are ours, when in fact God is saying, oh, no, I've entrusted you with these things. How have you used them? And to share from our hearts and our stories and our testimonies, and often in ways that feel like exposing. You know, I mean, it's got to be done carefully and delicately, but to share from our own places of fear or struggle, our own places of loneliness, where we're able to share that and to show how God has come alongside, gives such hope. But it takes some courage to do that. And so often we're managing that, or we're in this world of social media where we're trying to express the very opposite of that. Look at how I have my life all together. And what I think God is asking us to do is to show instead from this place where the cracks are, where we're being healed. But it's scary. We have to learn how to do that.
Oh, wow. It is amazing. In the very areas where we struggle, it's like the enemy parades people in front of us as if they skate in that area. You know, they have their own cracks and they have their own hardships, but it's like we see people who operate in a strength where we are weak, or where we're broken or hurting, or we're in the not yet, and it just amplifies the pain in our heart. So here's one more. What is the courageous next step God may be calling you to? Speak to that one if you would.
Yeah, and I think that's helpful, because I think that sometimes we can get so far ahead of ourselves instead of just simply responding in that obedient step today. What is God asking you to do today? And that's the thing. I think if we wake up asking ourselves that question, God, where would you have me be more brave? Where would you have me be more vulnerable today? That is going to build and gain momentum over time. I think so often we can see the next step as something so out there and so unattainable that we never begin. And so seeing our life through this lens of where God wants to take us further, if we look at that today with intentionality, oftentimes that's a small step of obedience, and yet the momentum that creates can be tremendous over time.
Well, you're a pastor. I know you can do this. Would you pray for that person listening? But you've got about 45 seconds.
Oh, yes.
Pray for that person who needs what you've just said, if you wouldn't mind.
God, I just pray that you would disarm us, God, that you would make us come low in freedom, God, that we would respond in humility and yet receive that love as you raise us to our feet, God, as you call us to more. I pray that we would have the courage to do so. God, thank you that you take our hand. Thank you that you lead us so gently and carefully. God, I just pray that our hearts will be filled with the joy that comes from walking in step with you, not ahead or behind, but right alongside. Thank you that you are a good shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, Dr. Jeff, I love you. I thank you so much for giving us time today. What a dear brother you are. Thanks for the time.
You're welcome. Thank you. What a delight.
I had a great conversation. Thank you, dear listener, for tuning in. And to Kim and Carissa, my amazing producers, we will meet you back here next time. God bless you. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.